All right, Sean, we got a good one today. It's episode number 29. And the topic for today kind of spurred on by a couple recent like news headlines that came out that now we're up to a few like CrossFit athletes that are teenagers recently dropped out of competition and for various reasons. Haley Adams was, I think, the first one that announced that she was withdrawing from competition. And she kind of used some like personal reasons, such as like kind of like losing part of her childhood. Like, how old is Haley Adams? I can't remember. She's
That's what I'm.
19.
I think. Let's see. She is 22.
So she spent a lot of her childhood like training really hard, training to win these CrossFit competitions, and devoting a lot of her life to that. And she mentioned that in her reasoning for wanting to get out of the sport temporarily, maybe. And then another one, which was even maybe a bigger shock, was potentially the athlete that a lot of people were predicting to win this year's CrossFit Games. On the female side, Mal O'Brien withdrew from competition earlier this year, and has still not disclosed her reasons why. But she's quite young as well. I believe she's in her
I think she's only
teens.
19.
And I have reason to suspect that it might be something of similar lines. Kind of wait to see on that one. What are your thoughts on what we're seeing, Sean?
Well, I was gonna say, I think it's we I actually forget where, because I remember bringing this idea to you because it was on something I was listening to, and they were talking about how the average age of the top 30 CrossFitters is dropping. The average age went from like 27 on the female side to now like 24. The male side went from like 28 to 25. Like there are these drops in and it's kind of showing that these people are starting at a much younger age. Like when we look at an Annie Thor's daughter, when she came onto it, however long ago, what, 2011 was her first one?
Think so.
So 11, 12 years ago at this point, she wasn't like, she had never done really CrossFit before. Like, she wasn't like these people that are starting at like age five and going on and then just taking it seriously. And it started the discussion of like what mentally what's happening with this when you specialize in one thing, what are you doing, like what are you missing, the opportunities that you're not going to have. And then we started kind of going broader and then into just general sports as a kid as well. That's not, that's including everything, lacrosse, baseball, football, basketball, whatever it may be. And kind of the along the same vein of like pressure on kids now is growing to compete and really be a singular athlete instead of, fostering growth and in being a multi-sport athlete. So
Yeah, definitely seeing a lot more of it nowadays. So I'm not sure exactly why, maybe, but we can speculate. But I also saw a recent article about a young female girl who was selected to the U.S. The national team for the women's soccer team, and the article was about how she missed her senior prom to go to a game, like to go to one of the games, which, super cool that this girl made it onto the national team, which is, many people's kind of dreams maybe. But also she wrote an article about how she had some kind of regrets about missing her that big pivotal moment of her youth.
Well, and I think that's it, is like, now, that being very specific, I think that is, and Haley Adams is quoted a bunch talking about this. It was, the opportunities that she missed that she's never going to be able to get back. Like you only go to high school once, hopefully, but like you only get one senior prom, like things like that. Like whatever it may be, is it worth it to not enjoy that in the moment and then regret it later if, whatever your plan is doesn't work out, or it becomes too much, like in her case.
Yeah, I think we wanted to, like you mentioned, broaden the conversation today out from just these few, you know, case studies of these CrossFit teen athletes to other sports in general and like youth sports in general, kind of like what we're seeing in terms of participation and specialization, and cool. Kind of give some advice and maybe our little opinions on what we're seeing.
I think the other thing is like the overuse injuries that come along with doing something so repetitive, and that's the only thing you ever do. And I know like we'll do this, but you and I both have a lot of personal examples of this whole thing of like, I know me specifically, like I was a very big multi-sport athlete to a singular athlete, and then went back to a multi-sport athlete, and then regretted only being a singular athlete for a while. So like we can draw those connections later, but I think it's more prevalent. And I think I talk to my clients who have teens who are in different sports, and the amount of pressure on these kids now is crazy.
Yeah.
And like they're playing baseball like year round.
Do you attribute the rise that, I mean, I'm just kind of making this assumption just off of my own kind of experience, but that there is this rise in specialization. Do you attribute that to this pressure on kids?
I think so. Like, I think it's gone in a way of like, in order to succeed and be great at something, you need to specialize in it early. And that's the only way you're going to be good at it. And you know, there's this pressure on these kids to start so much earlier, where it's like, if they don't do travel baseball, when they're in their, you know, U13 leagues, they're never going to make it to their high school team, 'cause their high school coach is the U13 coach, like, or whatever it is. Like, and that's wild to me that if I'm not doing it when I don't have to do it, I won't be able to do it when I want to do it. And that's weird.
But let's talk a little bit about personal experience. Like you said, you played multiple sports growing up.
Yeah. Growing up, I literally played like every sport I could. I wrestled, I played football, I played baseball, I played basketball. In high school, like post focusing just on football, I did track. Like I truly did like playing all of the sports, and it was weird. But again, there was pressure from coaches and things to only focus on football because I was good at it and I needed to get stronger, or, you know, whatever you want to say. But to do that, and then once like my senior year happened, we had success in football, you know, all these things. Once I was done and I went back to playing basketball because I love basketball, and I loved it, and the team was terrible. It was terrible. But at the same time, I realized, like, I was like, why haven't I been doing this all 4 years? Like, I could have really enjoyed this and all these things. And then again, playing or like doing track, and I had a family friend who was the throwing coach in high school. She recruited me to do track in the spring of my senior year. And then I made it to districts throwing. And I was like, God damn, right? I could have been doing this, and I could have been good at this if I did it earlier and been having fun, because the practices were so much fun, and, you know, they weren't grueling like my other practices were.
When did you go from like multiple sports to focusing on one?
High school. So it was like growing up, it was like shaving off wrestling by the time I got to, you know, in the middle school age, and then it was baseball was next, and then basketball by the time I got to high school, and then it was just football through high school, and then it was basketball and football senior year of high school too. Basketball and track. But yeah, so it was like probably that gap of 4 years where I was really only focusing on football in high school.
Yeah.
But, and I think we'll get to this in a little bit more, it was also partially one of the big reasons why I decided to stop playing football in college, was because I just kind of got burnt out, and I was like, it's not fun anymore.
Man, we're going to have some similar stories here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just different too.
What was that?
It was just different too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my story is pretty similar. I mean, I grew up playing a bunch of different sports. I played soccer was like my main sport, you know, like everybody has to classify that as my main sport. But I also did basketball like yourself in middle school and just in summer leagues and stuff like that with my friends. We would get together and play all the time. And I started running track in high school. So in ninth grade, I joined the track team because I wanted to get faster for soccer, but ended up enjoying it quite a bit. And then sophomore year of high school, I was told by my track coach that I had to pick a sport. So he made me decide like which direction I needed to go. And he was like, "You can't do both." He's like, "We only have single sport athletes here." And he forced me to walk off the track that day and pick soccer for the rest of my high school career. Well, for the next 2 years. So sophomore and junior year, he was a coach and I wasn't allowed to do both. But then my senior year, we got a new coach, a new track coach, and I actually rejoined track my senior year and had a lot of fun and some success in that my senior year and continued to play soccer throughout. And that's why I ended up going to play soccer in college. But similar to you, I played 1 year of soccer in college and got a little bit of burnout, and it felt kind of like a full-time job, honestly, at that point. And I lost a little bit of the enjoyment of it for sure.
I think that was the biggest thing. Once, like it was funny. Me and my best friend, who I went to college with, played football as well. And when we got to college, all of our teammates in college would always talk about how hard and grueling and things were. And him and I also were like, oh, this is just like high school, because our high school coach ran our program like a college program. So it was like a smooth transition into college for us as far as like that full-time job thing. But it was like you said, it was a full-time job, but it just wasn't fun. And it was just like, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I want to like enjoy this too.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. So I guess what we're seeing now is me personally, I'm seeing like more kids specializing earlier than I did. So I started specializing sophomore year. You started specializing freshman year of high school. I'm seeing kids now specializing in elementary and middle school, and, you know, picking one sport. What are your opinions on that? What do you see as the downfall, in that?
I mean, the biggest thing is, for me, and again, I'll draw the parallel to like my examples of in through high school. Literally, some of the best athletes I ever played with, like on the football team, who were like the stars, were multi-sport athletes. And they were good at all of them, right?
Yeah,
And it was.
same with my football team too. I can think of like the best athlete on the team, and he did three or four. I think he did four sports in high school the whole time.
And I really genuinely attribute that to what you get in one sport, you don't get in another for the most part. Like, we'll use the example of like football, right? We always talk about it and like draw the parallel to CrossFit, and it's like I love and am good at those really short, explosive workouts or movements and things like that, because that's what it was. You work at 100% effort for like 10 to 15 seconds, and then get to rest for like 45 to a minute, and then do it again and do it again and again and again and again for like 3 hours. So it was like you get that in football, but like to what you did in soccer, it's just long endurance cardio that you never get in football.
Yeah.
And the hand-eye coordination you develop in baseball, the agility and jumping and plyometric stuff that you get in basketball, and all of these different things that really don't have a lot of like transference from one sport to another, you know. They're really heavy in one sport, not in another, I should say. I feel like that's a big detriment to kids now who are starting to specialize so much earlier, is like they don't get all of the other good stuff that you can get from doing every other sport. You know, I feel like that, because I actually just had a conversation with somebody about this earlier this week, on this exact topic of what we're talking about it right now in this, like, they should go play basketball or go surfing or swimming or anything to develop something different than what they have if they really want to get better at what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it, for some reason, it lies in the face of like what you're saying, kind of goes against what people kind of think. You know what I mean? Like most people are like, oh, like if I want to get better at something, I just got to keep doing the thing. Right. And I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like there is some credence to that in the way of like, if I want to get better at snatching, I have to snatch, right? Yeah. If I want to do stuff like that, I have to do those things and be repetitive in them. But that doesn't mean I can't get benefits in my snatch by doing, you know, core work and shoulder exercise and things like that that have nothing to do directly with my making my snatch better, but they have benefits that I won't get unless I do them otherwise. Yeah. Yeah, I think when how do I want to put this? It's like when those kids too, or you know, to keep going with it, it's mentally kind of how we go about these things too, and kind of handling adversity, right? The adversity you're going to have in a baseball game, being down by 10 runs, and you're like, well, this game's over, right? And you just kind of phone it in and you just kind of go through the motions till the end of the game, versus playing a highly competitive basketball game of back and forth where it's like it's coming down to the last second, or, you know, it's the person who ever gets the ball last. If, you know, wrestling, you're literally one-on-one trying to like out-duel this person.
Yeah.
It like handling adversity becomes another thing that these kids are kind of missing as well. And yeah, does that have, you know, bigger ramifications outside of sports as well?
Yeah. I think that's a big draw for people, maybe either subconsciously or consciously, towards like having their kids participate in sports, right? It's like the benefits of different aspects. And something you said rang true for me. Like I always played team sports, you know, with soccer, and having to build skills in that way, like being I always had a leadership role, right? I was like the team captain, and I built leadership skills that way. And you know, working well with other people, those are some real life skills that you can build in that. But I like the concept of changing it up, like something like track and field, even though they say it's billed as a team sport, it's not a team sport.
Right.
You're out there by yourself. Like I built, you know, different skills and perseverance and grit and those kinds of things, like you were saying, through track and field that I couldn't develop through a team sport like soccer.
Yeah. I mean, it was the same thing like wrestling growing up too. Yeah. Like there's a team sport, and like your team can win if you get the most points. And like, depending on how your match goes in relation to the team, obviously you score more points or whatever. But yeah, what I learned in wrestling was way different than everything else. Cause there's literally no one, you can't depend on anybody else.
Yeah.
And like track was the same thing. I go out, I throw something. If it's a terrible throw, that's on me. If it's a good throw, that's also on me. At the end of the day, they're like, oh, Palisades, the team won by 50 points. I'm like, I have no bearing on what that means.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it always was funny to me that it was a team sport.
Yeah. But I mean, I get it because it is. But I, yeah, like the tangible things that you can gain working well with others, like you said, the leadership thing, I was very much in the same thing. How to, you know, corral people in, get them to be on the same mindset as you, do things like that, is also part of it that, yeah, is totally different from sports to sports. So I think it's a good example, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a major draw for sports. It's one of the, you know, one of the benefits I think of youth participation in sports is these like mental things that you can develop other than the physical skills and that kind of stuff.
On that note too, Mike, on the physical side of it, what can you see as some of the pros and cons of specializing earlier versus later?
Yeah, I think some of the same lines as you, like, yeah, I personally would try and delay specialization as long as possible with a young athlete. And to some of the same points that you were saying before. And I think there's lots of carryover to CrossFit too, right? This whole reason why we constantly vary things. You know, you're going to be working on different physical attributes in different sports and developing things and becoming a more well-rounded athlete. It's like literally the whole concept behind what we do with CrossFit, right? There's 10 physical skills involved, you know, that the human body is capable of developing, right? Speed, accuracy, coordination, balance, power, reaction time, all these things that make you a better athlete, right? And all these different sports involve those things, like to some degree, but in different variations in each sport, right? And you can kind of turn those knobs by doing different and increasing in different domains, like by playing different things and doing and moving your body in different ways. Yeah, and preventing things like you mentioned, overuse injuries. You're just setting yourself up for those kind of things, you know, tendonitis and different kinds of overuse injuries that occur from doing things repetitively. So if you're constantly, you know, swinging a tennis racket up over your head in the same motion 365 days out of a year, you're setting yourself up for some issues, you know, especially if you're not doing things like strength training on top of it, which we can get into too. But
when you look at something like baseball, right, one of the biggest injuries in baseball is Tommy John surgery, and it's from throwing a ball, right? It's just like you said with the tennis example. It's that constant torque and whip on your elbow that people end up tearing their elbow, and they have to get that surgery, which is a very extensive surgery that it requires like this large cut across the inside of your elbow. But that is literally an overuse injury. Like that is one thing, because the repetitive throwing and throwing and throwing, especially for pitchers who are throwing as hard as they can over and over and over and over again. And it's why, like, my one client, Zach, who I was talking to this morning, it's, his sons play baseball. Where they're at in like their ages, his younger son, the pitchers are only allowed to throw 40 pitches. Yeah. And it's like they can throw more, but if they throw more than 40 pitches, so if they throw 41, they're not allowed to pitch the next day. They have to have a whole day off before they can pitch again. So like in a tournament, if they pitch 41 pitches, they can't pitch the next day or next game or whatever. So it's like there's a reason they're doing that. And it's because they're trying to save these kids because they know what can happen.
Yeah, and that's great that they're doing that, because I mean, you know, is it worth it to throw 60 pitches and get Tommy John surgery into, you know, before high school? I would argue probably not.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that's something we could get into, like what the goal of sports participation or youth sports participation, you know, what's the goal? I think that's what we need to ask ourselves, you know, as parents or, you know, coaches, you know, people who are helping these young people develop these like physical skills, but also mental skills through sports. What is the goal of participation in these sports? I think that's the major question that we need to like ask ourselves when we are debating whether or not should our kid, you know, specialize in one, or, you know, what is the goal? What's the end goal?
Yeah. Well, and then most of the articles that I was reading too, the biggest thing is like, is it pressure from the parents that are having their kids play the sport because they want to vicariously live through them and like relive their glory days? Like that's a prominent thing. Is it to develop an active lifestyle and like get out and exercise because they worry about their kids being on the couch? Is it, you know, and a myriad of other things. And I do agree, like they're, the reason why needs to be a clear and concise one. And I don't think it is for a lot of people. I think they get them into sports because they think they should be in sports because they were in sports.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, the major thing is like making sure that they're enjoying it, you know, they're still enjoying it and they're not just competing to win, you know, they're or playing to win. You know, they're playing for the enjoyment of it, and that could be a red flag, in my opinion, if you're seeing a kid who's just competing to win, you know.
Yeah,
not the actual enjoyment of the sport itself.
Well, and in that article, Mike, that we were talking about prior to coming on here, I read you that one line that I was like, I totally relate to that. And it was talking about essentially exactly that. It's like too much pressure to perform and win is the main reason for a lot of kids quitting their, you know, whatever sport it is before the age of 14. And then the line was, most former athletes will tell you that what they miss most in retirement is competing in sports, not just the winning of games. And again, that resonated with me a lot, because I didn't, you know, when I played in college, it wasn't, we were good. We were successful. My sophomore year, they went to a bowl game, right? Like, we were good. It was just, I didn't care about that. I wanted to play and have fun with it, and I wasn't anymore.
Yeah.
And that was a big deterrent for me. And even now, that is the one thing I miss most, and why I was drawn to CrossFit so much, is because there is that like competitive side of it for me personally. I don't care about winning, but I do like competing, because it's just a driving motivation for me. And again, that's why I like going and playing basketball right now, or playing touch football, whatever, you know, name it. I like doing that because that's what I miss. I don't miss winning.
Yeah. Yeah. Winning. I could,
But
I personally had very little success. Our high school soccer team did not do well. And my college team did not do well the year that I played. And, you know, I don't look back on, I look back on playing and I miss it. I really miss it. Not because we lost so much, but because I just purely enjoyed playing and enjoyed the sport and the every aspect of kind of being part of a team and all that stuff. So I think it's good to have that perspective. Like, it's easy now in hindsight to look back, but when you're in it or your kid's in it or whatever, it's have that perspective of like, they're not going to miss that part of it. They're going to miss doing the thing and, you know, loving the sport.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's like, you don't, in the moment, you don't see that. Cause again, I'll draw a parallel to myself with this. When I had made the decision to stop playing football in college, I remember it like, I wrecked me, because it was a very hard decision to come to. And I remember having a conversation with my great grandfather at the time, and he kind of, you know, had some levity in the situation of like, he's like, are you having fun anymore? And I was like, no. He's like, then don't do it. And like, he was one of the people that I was trying to, you know, make proud of what I was doing, along with my parents and grandparents and everything. But like, he was the one that, especially, I distinctly remember having that conversation about, he's like, it's okay. He's like, if you're not having fun, don't do it anymore. He's like, you don't have to prove anything. Like, it's not about that.
Yeah.
And it did kind of help me, you know, rationalize that decision as well. So again, I needed somebody to tell me that at the time, because, you know, it was rough. But
yeah, it's interesting now that you mention it. You know, I do think that was part of it for me too, was that I was trying to appease other people. I was playing to impress, you know, people close to me and make them proud of me in a way. So I think that's a good lesson for like, and when I did step away from the sport, I kind of came to that realization. I was like, I wasn't doing it for myself anymore.
Yeah.
That might be a good perspective too for parents and stuff. Like, be careful of the pressure you put on your kids, because, you know, they might say that they're enjoying what they're doing, but if they're doing it just to impress you and like appease you, that could be like motivating them now, but in the long run, not the best for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really do think that that's a big piece. And even kind of moving forward, like we were talking about earlier, is there this growing pressure for kids to start to specialize earlier? Yes, I would say yes. And I think that pressure, maybe like for you and I, was that external, body of like maybe your parents or your grandparents or anything. But now I think there's also these added pressures of your coaches who are stepping into more, because again, a coach can be a mentor to these kids as well. And if they're trying to impress those people and make them proud, that can be a really dangerous, not dangerous is a bad word, but like that can be a really slippery slope of like, is that person who they're trying to make proud, do they have that kid's interest in their best mind, like best interest in their mind? And hopefully the answer is yes, because having coached before coming out of college, I always thought about the kids first and like tried to have conversations with them about certain things. And you hope that people in those coaching roles have the same mindset of like, do they want to win? So they're going to like break these kids to make sure that they win for some weird reason.
Yeah.
And if you as a parent can start to see that, then that should be a red flag that you should have that conversation with your kids more.
Yeah. I had a similar conversation with a parent recently, and I think this is a good time to talk about it. Like on that note is, I think in terms of solutions that we can kind of talk about here, like for, you know, if you kind of notice some of these things, one thing that you could do is you could, if you're a coach or if you're a parent of a youth athlete, you can try and emphasize the right things, like, and point out and praise the behaviors that you want. So like, for example, if you're only praising and, you know, congratulating and all that stuff when your kid is winning, that is showing that your child that winning is cause for praise, right? Yeah. But conversely, if you are, you know, praising and congratulating them for their effort on the field or pitch or ice or whatever, then they're going to associate their effort, regardless of the outcome, with praise and, you know, positive emotions. So like being careful about what you are actually praising and publishing on the internet and showing off, like, is it just when they score a goal? Or is it when they hustled back on defense to save, prevent a goal and help their teammates? You know, is it the time that they like dribble by everybody and score the fancy goal that you care about? Or is it, you know, what is it?
Yeah.
Because kids pick up on that. They're very perceptive.
Well, Mike, I think you brought up a whole other bag of worms there with the internet and like just the age of YouTube and like who the kids are idolizing as far as any sports. Because again, yeah, it's not sexy to be, you know, the person that's putting the whole team on their back and like literally doing everything, but you don't get any of the praise.
I mean, Sean, coming from an offensive lineman perspective here, you know all about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it was like that. I mean, that is a good example. Like, you know, we never scored a touchdown. We never caught a pass. We never did anything. But we did all.
I have a theory. My theory is I've never met an offensive lineman that I didn't like.
Yeah.
We talked about building character, all that kind of stuff. Like, you literally never get any of the credit in that position, but you literally are the reason that things happen.
Right.
But,
and again, we had good coaching too, that reminded us that of a lot. So that also helped.
Yeah, I mean, in the same vein that I was just saying, so you were getting praise from coaches, people who you were looking up to for that. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is in some of these things, like football, it's a little bit harder to see. There's so much happening. There's 22 people out on the field that are all doing a different thing. Wrestling, literally, it's one person on one person. So it's very easy to see the good and the bad of that. Soccer, same thing. Like, there's a lot happening, but there's still like a, you know, the focus is on where the ball kind of is.
Yeah.
And I think people can do that more of, like you said, praising what is happening when you're not in the spotlight. And yeah, I think that's a really big thing for mentally for kids too. Cause again, I just said it earlier, is like, I had good coaching who praised that a lot, and like effort was what they kind of demanded. And, you know, if you give effort, good things happen, right? If you don't give good effort, bad things happen. And there's a, I think that's a really, you know, direct correlation of whether we're having fun or not. But you know, they can have bad things too. You know, if there's, like you said, if it's just, if it's only praise for the superstars and everything else, or on the flip side of it, if it's, you know, if you're getting yelled at for something happening, like, that's not fun, right? Yeah. And if that's all that's happening all the time and there's no praise, you're never going to have fun.
All negative, you know, feedback, no positive reinforcement. And, you know, what are you pointing out when your kid or your, you know, if you're a coach or parent or whatever, if they lose, you know, what are you highlighting? What are you, you know, I think that is a overlooked part of youth, and especially youth. We're talking about youth sports here. If we just put this back in context again, like, this is not professional sports. These kids are not getting paid to play. They're not professionals. This is youth sports. So again, maybe we should go back to what we think the goals of participating in these sports should be. But we're talking about kids here.
Yeah. I mean, one of our coaches in high school literally played in the NFL and told all of us, he's like, you're not going to make it to the NFL. And he gave us like these statistics of like the percentage of literally the people that make it is like the top 1% of 1% of 1%. And, you know, I think that that also, though, helped me frame, again, when I got back to that, my college time playing, it helped me frame that. I'm like, what is the point of me doing this? And what is the goal of me playing right now? Because I'm not going to the NFL. I want to have fun. That's my goal. My goal is not met. I'm not having fun. So why am I doing this? Right. And I think, having that goal, though, is important for that framing of like, should I be specializing this thing at some point? Not early. Should I go have fun doing other things? Is my goal to be the best athlete I can be, not necessarily the best baseball player or soccer player or whatever I can be? And if the goal is the athlete, then play a lot of sports, right? They're fun.
Yeah. And I think sports could be, you know, especially youth sports could be a great way to build like a love or at least an appreciation of physical activity, hopefully for a lifetime, you know, getting your kids to enjoy moving and enjoy using their bodies in different ways and being active. And promoting it like a healthy lifestyle from a young age and not getting to them to the point where they're burnt out and hating it and associating being active with negative emotions. I think that should be a big part of youth sports, is just getting them to want to be more active.
Yeah. And again, I think it's only, Crystal and I have talked about this with Charlie a lot, because Crystal did things. She was a very high level gymnast for a long time, hated it, and stopped doing it for all the reasons that we're talking about, and kind of has a resentment of like, I don't want Charlie to do gymnastics at a high level because of the negative things that happened to me. And if anything, it's like, and Crystal feels the same way. We're just hoping that she does something, and we hope it's something different. Like, if she swims, neither one of us ever swam, or plays field hockey, or, you know, does, you know, track, whatever it may be. But it's like, if she's having fun and we're going to kind of like help fertilize that feeling of like going and doing things that are fun for her. And if you don't like it, play the rest of the season. You know, you can stop playing at the end of the season, but you're going to finish it out and you keep going, and then you do something different next time. And that's, you know, hopefully when by the time she gets to that age, that it'll help with that, but you never know.
Yeah, any advice for maybe if there's a kid who wants to, who really loves the sport, but wants to kind of specialize a little early, like maybe this quote that we found, like, I well, think that could be a good way to address a kid like that.
Yeah, and I think the very last sentence of that, it's counterintuitive to what a lot of parents think, and just people in general. They think you need to specialize earlier to get better at, like this uses hockey as an example in this article. And, they were saying essentially on average, the people who make it to the top tier of their sport. So to the professional levels of NBA, NHL, NFL, whatever it may be, choose to specialize in that sport 2 years later than those who didn't make it to the top tier. So the people that are making it into their professional leagues.
Super interesting.
Yeah. Specialize in the sport 2 years on average later than kids that don't make it. And it says, in other words, top athletes spend more time building a broad athletic base, which is counterintuitive to what most parents say. And it goes back to what we were saying. Some of the best athletes that I knew played multiple sports year round. Like they didn't focus on just one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super interesting and might be a good way to get that kid to be like, hey, you want to be better? Do more sport, do other sports.
Yeah. Well, and you see it a lot in professional sports, especially there's been a big correlation or like big thing with the NFL and the MLB. So professional baseball and football. You see a lot of top tier guys that go to the NFL who also got contracts and got drafted by professional baseball teams because they kept playing both sports through college. The same thing. There's a lot of people that were in the NFL that played very high level and college basketball and were really good at basketball. So like you have these people. And in this article, they bring up Wayne Gretzky, again, drawing the example of hockey, who is literally considered to be the greatest hockey player of all time. And he also got a contract for a professional baseball team, the Toronto Blue Jays, because he loved playing baseball his whole life, but he picked hockey over it, but he did all of these other sports. And he said, played lacrosse in the summer. Like he played all of these things and still had success in multiple sports because he did that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's again, it says the article said it's counterintuitive to many parents, but it really makes sense when you think about it. I mean, you know, Wayne Gretzky, look at Michael Jordan, did basketball, baseball, Bo Jackson, some of like the best athletes ever. We're good at a lot of different things.
Bo Jackson is one of the biggest freak athletes.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was just telling Katie about him the other day.
He's him and like Deion Sanders is another one that came up to it. Deion Sanders played in a Super Bowl and a World Series in the same year. Bo Jackson was he went to the Pro Bowl, which is like the you know All-Star game for the NFL, and he went to the All-Star game for the MLB in the same year as well. So it's like they're you know you get a lot out of multiple sports, and they played him at the same time, which is absurd. That's something that's, you know,
All right. Yeah. Anything else you want to mention, I guess in closing here?
I mean, I would just really say, kind of the big, I loved the example in this article as well, where, you know, we've talked about that, the theoretical hierarchy of things to focus on for CrossFit. Right. And it's like, what's at the bottom? It's like nutrition, right? It's like focusing on nutrition is the biggest piece. Then it's, you know, goes all the way up to sport is the very top. And in the article, they were talking about, so if we think of building the perfect athlete and, you know, who's going to be the most successful athletically. And this isn't specific to CrossFit, but it's essentially if you take those same pillars that they put in their model and say you're trying to make the perfect baseball player, and I just start taking, all right, they don't need to focus on the nutrition side of it. They need to focus on baseball. All right. It makes the pyramid smaller. And then say, all right, they don't need to focus on like the general preparedness. They just need to focus on baseball. and you take that whole level away, now your pyramid is really small, and the theoretical athlete that you've created is much smaller than somebody who focused on multiple things and just tried to focus on the being a better athlete as a general piece at the beginning and then specialize later. Because that's kind of what, you know, the CrossFit pyramid looks like, is the very top end is focusing on sport and not before anything else. So I really do like that analogy that they drew with that.
Yeah, I think that puts it in good perspective for our people. You know, it's literally the same thing that we talk about and that we kind of preach in CrossFit, is to make the best possible base for a big structure on top of it, right? Big pyramid.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, I would say a lot less injuries happen when you just have a general, like you can handle almost anything at that point. So I think that's a really big one, especially for kids. You just don't want kids to be injured. All the injuries that I ever had were like freak accidents outside of my fingers. That one made sense. Everything else kind of just was weird things. But
yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get your kids involved in different things and, you know, maybe some strength training in there and good to go.
Yeah.
Keep them having fun.
And Mike, I think that's a perfect way to end it. I think the best thing that you can do is just make sure that you or your kids or anybody are having fun with the endeavor sport that they're playing. Without that, I mean, it ain't going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I have lived that part.
Yeah.
But
and all you right. Can't go back. You can't go back, Mike.
All right. Let us know what you guys think. If you have any other thoughts or opinions you want to share with us, I'd be curious to hear from, you know, other coaches, parents out there, or just your ideas around youth sports. And if you have any ideas for future podcasts, we want to have another listener question one. Haven't had one in a while. All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right. See you, Mike.
Have a good one.